Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Good morning, welcome everyone to Spiritual Engineering, the new science for happiness and extraordinary relationships with your hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. Good morning, Mr. Thomas.
Good morning, it is another nice morning, beautiful morning here in Colorado.
Spring is finally here.
Spring has sprung, and boy, it's been in the 60s and 70s, and the trees are in blossom, the flowers are blooming, the Easter lilies are coming up, so it's hopefully it is spring.
It is so refreshing, and it gives you like a happy feeling to see all those trees coming up and the flowers. I was driving yesterday and I started seeing those the yellow flowers. Mm-hmm. It gives such a good feeling knowing that finally we're going to get out and enjoy this beautiful weather. Well, thank you again to Spiritual Engineering, and we want to thank Cosmic Citizen for allowing us to broadcast every Wednesday morning from Colorado, 8 a.m. Eastern Time.
Mountain Time.
I'm on springtime, honey. And you can visit our website, www.spiritualengineering.com, for more information about this program. And also, the things that we do in life is very interesting. Life doesn't stop. And today we have a fascinating topic. We're going to talk about trust, betrayal, and happiness. Because during the last shows, we've been talking, discussing, presenting new concepts about happiness. And today we're going to relate that, how the happiness can be actually not accomplished by wrong expectations, unhealthy expectations, and how betrayal definitely it can mess up any relationship, and not only our relationship, but also our life as well. Again, welcome to Spiritual Engineering.
Yes, thank you. And this is something that is so, so serious. First of all, let's look at the connection between happiness, feeling good, and relationships. And most of our feelings, maybe not all, but by far the vast majority of our feelings, our emotions, are tied to relationships. Other people make us, we let them affect our feelings in a positive and negative way. So one of the things that we have different in spiritual engineering is that we look at three types of relationships: the relationship with God, the spiritual relationship, our relationship with ourself, how we see ourselves in relation to the world, and then relationships with other people. So, generally, when we have a feeling of joy, happiness, exuberance, or we have a feeling of disappointment, hurt, betrayal, it is connected to one of these three relationships. And so that's why we look at relationships and this feeling of happiness or the feelings that we have. But let's look, what we want to look at today is just this one thing, is betrayal. When we feel betrayed by somebody, and it's such a heart-wrenching thing sometimes, it can go, as most of our feelings can, it can range from a mild feeling, a kind of an irritation, to something that becomes just, like I said, heart-wrenching, something that affects us very deeply. When we feel that someone has betrayed us.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we mean by this? It means that we have expected someone to act or do or say certain things, and they haven't done them. Or they have promised they would do these things, and they don't do them. So when we feel betrayed, quite often it's because we have expectations, and those expectations aren't met. So what we need to look at, like with betrayal, like with a number of these things, these feelings that we have, There's healthy and unhealthy expectations.
And let me illustrate this case with something that really happened to me this week. A good friend of mine called me, and she say, "Patricia, I am devastated. I have been in this relationship and with my husband, and yesterday I came back home, and my husband was gone. He did not tell me that he was going to leave. We didn't have very serious problems. We thought that, in fact, we were happy. We thought that we were having a good relationship. And all of a sudden, he left me. No explanation whatsoever. And we went into looking into her expectations and trust. So why don't we be with trust? When do we really know we can trust someone?
Again, and that's great because they are so connected. Because when we have that feeling of betrayal, it's because someone has broken a trust. That's exactly what's happened. We have feel like our trust has been broken. Our trust has been shattered. Our trust has at least been bent or hurt in a different way, in some way. So that's great. We'll look at this trust and how to extend trust. How do we know to trust somebody? Now, remember, this goes into all relationships. This applies to how we trust people at work, our friends, our family, our significant other, our spouse. It also goes into how we trust God. How do we develop these relationships? How do we extend trust in any of these relationships in a way that doesn't let us be betrayed? And again, babe, like you're saying, it all has to do, comes back to expectations. Because one of the things that I've learned the hard way through experience is we extend trust based on trustworthiness. And that is so important. We don't just go out and trust people because we want to. We don't go out and trust people because all they say is, you know, they're trustworthy. We based our trust on evidence, on information, on data. And that's the difference between the healthy and unhealthy expectations, the healthy and unhealthy
trust.
That's
right. And what often happens is that people, I would not say instinctively, but like kind of natural, it is kind of their way of being. They bestow trust in individuals that they don't know.
Right.
Or people that they haven't spent enough time, and they believe them. They want to believe them
because that's what they want.
Yep. Exactly.
That's what they want. That's what they wish. That's the way they think it should be. That's a big reason for extending trust and getting hurt. This is what should happen. People should act this way. People should do these things. And we extend that trust based on what people should do, what we want, what we desire, what we fantasize, instead of slowly and progressively extending that trust based on evidence. And that's one of the biggest reasons that we get that trust. We trust this person, and all of a sudden they do something, they lie, or they disappoint us, and they say, "Oh my gosh, how could they do that? And when we look back at the beginning of it, quite often we have put that trust out there. We have trusted somebody without the evidence that they're trustworthy.
And also because we carry this emotional void. We don't feel good about ourselves. We don't have that spiritual foundation. And we want somebody, we want another person to fill that void, to make us feel good about ourselves. And what happened in the process is we are so quick in putting our trust, our belief, our confidence in that other person that we had just met. And we have all these unhealthy expectations about how the relation could be without knowing who this person really is.
Right. And again, it comes back to we do what we want. We do what we think or what people should. We have expectations out there what they should do. And it doesn't always work. So how do we evaluate this? How do we find out? Okay, let's look at, first of all, how we extend trust. And as I said, it's so important. We extend trust based on proven trustworthiness.
Experience.
Experience. We When we meet somebody or when we start to know somebody, we don't go into our deepest, mm-hmm. darkest lies and expect them, you know, to just keep quiet and keep confidences and things like that. And we learn whether people keep their words. Do they do what they say they're going to do? If they say they're going to do these things, do they really do them? Or do they sometimes do them, sometimes not? How serious are they about keeping commitments? How committed are they to keeping their word? How much do they trust us back in return? So there's a lot of things here to look at and evaluate this trustworthiness. So we do that, and we extend our trust based on trustworthiness. Not an immediate thing. Not it takes some time, it takes some experience and some judgment and wisdom to learn how to do this, because quite often our feelings of betrayal come from having extended this trust out in a way that is not healthy. In a way that means that we have trusted somebody because of what we want, what we desire, or what we think should happen, instead of based on evidence. So we learn how to trust people.
How do we learn that?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
On evidence.
Evidence.
On evidence by experience. We trust them with small things and see if they deliver,
right.
To see if they do.
And obviously that requires time. And that is
time.
Something that some people don't understand. When we are dating someone, when we are getting to know someone, or even when we want to build a friendship with a person, we need to spend some time looking carefully and evaluating that person before we entrust that individual with our own secrets, with our own interests, before we even decided to go into a relationship. Because sometimes we just met someone, let's say a girlfriend, right, a female person in my case, and I wanted to befriend with that person. And I said, oh, I got a new friend. And then I started discovering things about that person that are not compatible with my own values and principles. So I cannot call that person a friend at first sight. I have to wait and get to know her and see if this person and I, it is worth it to even build a relationship. The same case, a friendship. The same case happened with a friendship and with a relationship. We need to know that person, ask the right questions, spend quality time, so we can define and understand if this person has the same values, they have the same principles, they have the same goals. For God's sake, you would like the same kind of things. And
That's true. And the other thing is, as you're doing that, and one of the things to remember in any relationship, and I'm talking about the relationship with, as I said, at work, with family, with friends, with a spouse, a significant other, or with God. We learn that patterns are so important. If someone does lie to me, deceive me, once or twice, the odds are it's going to happen again. It's very difficult for people to change patterns. So when I have evidence that somebody has misled me, has not met a commitment, if they make a commitment and they don't live up to it, those are red flags. Everybody makes mistakes. All of us are going to make mistakes. There's going to be things that we disappoint other people disappoint us. But when it happens a number of times, I'm telling you right now, a person will not change just because you run out and get married or just because they say they're going to change or things like this. So the behavior that you see in the beginning of a relationship is going to be what's there for a long time. Don't expect the other person to change. So that there is that. Now, what do we do when we are betrayed? When we have done this in the right way and we've experienced, you know, we have trusted somebody, and like you're saying, maybe your friend that you were talking about, all of a sudden this person completely goes against what the evidence said they would do. They go against what it's obviously right and wrong, even though they have a commitment to do right. What do we do in this case when that person really has betrayed us, has really lied to us, deceived us? or done something in such a way that it is totally wrong, and we are very hurt. Well, here again, the tools of spiritual engineering, we try to use some very, very practical tools. One of the things that we have to do is realize, again, we have the three types of relationships. We have a relationship with God, that inner spiritual power, that inner spiritual spark, that inner spiritual strength that we all have. We have developed and worked on that relationship, so we have a good foundation. We look at our relationship with ourselves, and we go back over this and really try to do a very quick evaluation on why we feel this way. Why are we reacting to this person at such a deep level? Why have we allowed this person to control our feelings and hurt us at such a deep level? Quite often, we find, even if that person betrayed us for a, you know, it was a betrayal and we had trusted in a healthy way, and that person has betrayed us, quite often we find that the degree of hurt, the degree of disappointment we feel may be out of proportion. We may be taking this so much to heart, so much, obsessed with this. So we have to look at our relationship with ourselves and how we have allowed this other person to control our feelings. And then we look at that relationship with the other person. So we look at these three types of relationships, and as we start to overcome this hurt, we really depend on this inner spiritual power. This is where this inner power that we all have, this energy, this force, can help us. This inner power can help us get over this betrayal, can help us to move through these feelings and also learn and make use this experience as something for growth instead of devastation. This inner power is the source that we have to help us at times like this. We go to this power, we pray, we spend a lot of time in talking to this power and in meditation and in listening for direction. We ask for strength to go through this, but we also ask that this inner power change our thinking, change our thought process, change our attitude, our perceptions, to help us see something different. We ask this inner power to help us do this transformational shift that lets us move on from this hurt, this betrayal by another person. And that's what this power, the spiritual power, does for us. It helps us at times like this. And one of the ways it helps us change our thinking. It helps us think different about what's happened, think different about our emotional reaction, think different about the person involved. We learn that as we forgive that person, and we must forgive them, we have to forgive them to release the feeling of betrayal, to release the hurt and the disappointment. We have to release those feelings and let them go. But we never, ever release the experience. We keep knowledge of what's happened. Because if we don't remember the event, we'll go back and repeat that. We're setting ourselves up to repeat it. So true forgiveness means that we have released all emotional attachment and reaction to that event. But we also retain the experience and knowledge of the event so we don't repeat it. And this is what that inner power can do. It can help us go through and get this forgiveness, this feeling of peace. And again, baby, it's not an instantaneous thing. When we're working in real life, when we're working with real problems, there is no instant gratification. If there is, it's the wrong thing.
But that's precisely the problem, honey, that many people, want that instant gratification because first, they don't have a solid spiritual foundation. And they want that person of things to fill that personal void. And they want that individual to become so important in their life that they sacrifice, they compromise their own respect, their dignity, because they want to please that person. And that person becomes the center of the world. And according to the natural order to build relationships, we know that first we have to put on a strong foundation. Then we have to build a strong relationship with ourselves. And finally, when we have that healthy self-love, we can go and love other people. But if this person becomes the center of my world and that person leaves, I mean, what am I going to be left with? And that is one of the major problems that we have in relationships today,
right.
That the other person becomes even more important than my spiritual relationship,
oh, yeah.
Or even more important than myself.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons, not just when that person leaves, when that person hurts us,
right.
When that person does betray us, when they lie to us, when they deceive us, and then we do not have the dignity or self-respect or self-value to say, I will not put up with this. You know, I need to sever this relationship. Instead of doing that, we get back and just say more. Give us more. We'll try it again. We'll try it one more time. And over and over and over, this keeps happening. And it comes back to exactly what you're saying. People have not learned to have the natural order, the way that relationships actually work, the way that relationships can be extraordinary relationships, the way we can have relationships, these associations with other people, other human personality, and not depend on them for our feelings.
I want to get back to a point that you made previously, and it's in relation to that spiritual foundation. And when we feel betrayed, I think that it's important to go into that place of introspection when we can ask the following questions. How I allow myself that this person will become the center and will take away even my spiritual foundation. And if we go to that spiritual foundation for solutions, also we need to pray. We need to pray that perhaps we will learn from this experience that our void, our emotional void, we will be filled with that spiritual presence and that other person, and it's important not to build resentment. As you mentioned before, it is important to let go of the emotional feeling, but not let go of the experience, and ask that we can actually forgive that person, and any resentment that we have will be removed from our mind, because we cannot allow a relationship like this to help us to build this resentment.
No, and we can't. Absolutely, we have to release the attachment, the physical, the emotional attachment to that event. We have to completely release any feelings that we have that, you know, generate from that event. And that, by this, I mean, we have to be able to think of what happened.
How we do that with prayer, right?
With prayer. Prayer and meditation. And we learn, we use the other tools, too, that we have physical, mental, and spiritual resources to shift out of this thing, to forgive. And the physical resources, like I said, are resources where we pick up a CD, we pick up a book, we read something to get our mind to shift. When our mind starts down that path of resentment and anger and hurt and betrayal, we physically do something different. We go for a walk. We make ourselves see 10 things that are beautiful, things that we're grateful for. We do mental. We use our mental resources. We use our mind to help us be grateful. We write a gratitude list. We think of things for which we're grateful, things that are important in our life. We think of the positive things in our life. We, as I said, listen to CDs or read something spiritual and then process that. We sit there and think about these positive things. And then we use the spiritual resources, that inner spiritual power that can shift our mind and shift our attitude and open up whole new ways to forgive. So we use all three of these resources, and then as we work through this and we forgive, this is a separate decision. We have to get to that place of complete emotional neutrality where we can think of what happened and not have an emotional reaction. I say we live between our throat and our belly button. And so when we think of this event, this terrible thing that happened, the feelings right there between our throat and our belly button, we don't have that visceral reaction. We are completely at peace and we can think of that event. When we get there, then we can make the decision. Was this a pattern or a mistake in this person's life? Now, can I choose to go back and look at this? Should I choose to continue this relationship? Should I choose to try to trust this other person? Should I choose to make an emotional investment in this other person? Then at that point, we can make some healthy decisions.
So
but as long
saying,
as we have
these
feelings, we can.
So, honey, what you're saying is that before we have to find a place of serenity within ourselves before making a decision regarding the relationship.
Oh, absolutely. Or we will make these decisions based on need or based on what we want or what we think should happen instead of on the objective evidence.
Or our anger, our resentment,
right.
Our guilt.
Right.
Uh-huh.
If somebody lies to us and hurts us. And again, we have to really be able to look at, is this a pattern or a mistake in this person's behavior?
Or my behavior.
Or my behavior. Does this happen over and over and over? Or is it a one-time thing? Is this just happened one time? And that is when it's a pattern, that's what I've got to be so careful of, whether it's in that person's behavior or mine. Because patterns are extremely difficult to change, and it's going to happen again. So we learn to look at this, evaluate this, but we have to be able to get to that place of neutrality, that place of where when we can think about what happened, the event, and not have the anger, the hurt, the recrimination, the idea that we want to get even. So we've got to be able to, and that's when we can make the good decisions. As long as we're in that place of emotional reaction, that reaction is going to influence our decision and lead us down the path of making another unhealthy decision. So we have to get to that place of neutrality. So that's why we want to look at relationships, trust, and betrayal, because all three of these are tied together, and all of these affect our happiness and our peace of mind. Of course, that's what we want out of life, is to be happy. That's what most people want. If they can really define the one thing they want, we want to be happy. And we've learned as we looked at happiness, it comes from four different levels. That level of possession, where we want to possess things or people, and when we do, we're happy. Or that level of being number one, the ego comparative level, where we have to beat other people. The third level is the level of altruism, where we do service and help other people. And the fourth level is the level of spiritual transcendency, when we learn the spiritual value of our actions. So we have the four different levels of happiness, and we can get happiness from either one of those. But the thing is, they are all tied to relationships. And we have to realize that where we get our happiness, where our purpose in life is, really sets us up and lets us feel these feelings of betrayal. Because any time we're getting our happiness, like you said, from another person, when that other person creates our happiness and we depend on them for these feelings, that sets us up for the possibility of feeling betrayed and feeling disappointed. And this is so important. It's not that we don't want to have these relationships. We want to learn to have healthy, rewarding, fulfilling relationships. That's what we're after. And that produces these feelings of happiness and peace and serenity and joy. And then we have the life that we're meant to have. We're fulfilling the potential of our life. Again, we're out of time. Thank you for being with us. This is Spiritual Engineering. Get information on our website at
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.